Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. Before I continue, how do we prepare towards Sunday service? Who remembered? Just 3 things we do in preparing as, let me use the word as workers, as responsible Christians. How do we prepare towards Sunday service? Yes, one thing. Would you? We call people, yes. What do? We pray towards service, yes, sir. Give me one more thing. Sir? We pray for the service, yes. Any other thing? We what? We review the previous notes. Amen, amen. We pray for the service. We what? We call people. Then we review what we did last time. I don't want to ask you one after the other how many of these 3 you did towards the service. It must be a commitment. Service for you, you are the one to make the service glorious. Service does not just become glorious. There are things that men, we put in place to make service what? Glorious. So those 3 key things, they are key. Number 1, you pray. Number 2, you call people. Number 3, what? You study what you did last time. That is just you, so that when you come to service, you don't what? You don't just look like, what are we doing again? You first acclimatize yourself with what we did last time. So next Sunday, I'm going to ask everybody individually if you did this 3 towards the service, okay? Next Sunday, I will ask you individually if you did this 3 towards the service. So just briefly before we go to the main service, I want to take something I call corrections in the church. Correction in the church. Correction in the church. The church is a gathering of saved men, not perfect men. We are saved men, not perfect men. Hence, there is still need for saints to be perfected. 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that means the man of God still needs to be perfected. The man of God is not necessarily perfect yet. So, is that the degree? The man of God is fully ready. He's ready. Let me say it this way. Man of God does not just mean pastor. See, I'm a man of God. Man of God is just not talking about the man that is holding the microphone. Man of God, all that is saved by the gospel is called by the gospel to preach the gospel. See, I'm a man of God. Okay, so although not perfect, yet there is an expectation of God on our lives. Now, that is another thing. You must not say, well, me, I'm not perfect, and I'm going to rest there. We may not be perfect yet, but there is an active expectation of God on our life. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Of course, I don't have to tell you to open your Bible. I don't have to tell you to be fast. I don't have to tell you to write and open. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Pay attention to those first words. Till we all come, right? Till we all come. That means there is an expectation that this man should grow up. Till we all come. Until we get there. Until it is done. Amen. See 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. From verse 1. 3 John chapter 1 verse 1. A lot of us have been nonchalant about this scripture for a long time. Thank God for Pastor Nika that just made us saw it better some weeks ago. 3 John chapter 1, verse 1. Are you there? Praise God. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. What is verse 2? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. In that there means that you be sound. Be sound. Even as thy soul prospereth. Even as thy soul prospereth. Well, it's a common stuff that he's talking about, that you be sound, you are prosperous materially, but not really so, because if you look at the next verse, next 2 verses. Verse 3, want to go, yes? For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is within thee, even as thou walkest in thee. So which prosperity is he talking about in verse 2? Spiritual, in the world. See verse 4, want to go? I have no greater joy than to hear that my what? Children walk in truth. Does that solve it for you? That solve it for you? So it's verse 2 talking about prospering. We are not saying don't pray for things, like not this scripture. Are you with me? So a rebuke is, now, sorry, before I go further, what I'm trying to say is, I wish above all things, that you prosper in the truth, that you prosper in doctrine, that you prosper in the knowledge of Christ. Above all things. Now, see, so a rebuke is not to bring you down. It is to help you up. Because there is an active expectation of God on your life. Say active expectation. Trust me, if a week will pass by and you cannot point to one thing that has been added to your spiritual appreciation, to your spiritual life, then yeah, like you are in a way grieving the heart of the Father. Something must be added. In the last one, we should be able to point to, yes, now I can explain this concept better. Yeah, yes, I'm better in my prayer life. I'm better in ministering to people. I'm better in healing the sick. You must be better. Stop coming to church and everything is the same. No, you must be better. Say, I must be better. Now, so a rebuke is not to bring you down. It is to help you up. It is to straighten your path, to help you avoid future issues. Hebrews chapter 12, to help you stand when others fall. That is why we have rebuke in church. That's why we have corrections. Hebrews 12 from verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed, but with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset, and let us run with patience the race set before us. Wow, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Now, look, based on what Jesus has done, now go to verse 5. Of course, the sin he was talking about in verse 4 is the sin of unbelief, talking to the Jews. Now, but see where I'm going, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastens of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he does what? Chastise. And scourgeth every son whom he received. That was a quotation he picked from the book of Proverbs. So that is why you are seeing the word scourge and scourge. It's an Old Testament quotation that he simply brought in. He's not saying God is using, because scourging looks like he's using something like a whip, like a kuboko, to scourge you. No, that is just a quotation. And the man just simply said it like that. You can look at that one later. Now, see I'm going to verse 7. If you endure chastisement, God dealeth with you as with what? Sons. For what son is he whom the father chastise not? Sorry, I thought even in the book of Proverbs, scourge is not even there. Scourge is not there. It's only just chastisement that was there. So, verse 8. But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye what? Bastards and not sons. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of what? Spirit, and live. So what is the effect of God's correction? You live. You don't die. You don't lose your finger. You don't lose your nose. You don't lose your left hand. Amen? So verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastise us after our own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of what? Righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So, how does God correct us? By the epistles. Let me ask you this question. This correction that this man is talking about here, how did God correct? How was God chastening the Hebrews here? How? Which word? Where is the chastisement? Pastor Ezekiel. For the Hebrews here, where is the rebuke that he's talking about here? Since where is it? Sabuki, where is it? Huh? Chapter 1 to chapter 11. Are you with me? The rebuke he's talking about is not different from the word. You remember all those strong words of Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10, Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4, Hebrews, those are the correction. That was how God brought correction to these people. Amen. So he said it may not seem like it's pleasurable, it may not seem like it's joyous, but you know, afterwards it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, of godliness. So he does not do it with experimental, experiential treatment, no, but by his word, by the scriptures, not by accident, because the Father has got no evil to give you. Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, the Father has got no evil to give anyone. If he has, it's not aniculaco. He doesn't have evil at all. He would have given you some, but he doesn't have at all. Praise God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, not talking to you anyway, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give what? Good things to them that ask him. If you then being evil, talking to the unregenerated man, the man that is not born again, those people who live before redemption, and say, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give which type of thing? Say good things. Everybody say good things. Okay, so the type of rebuke he will give you will not be evil. Now, let me say it this way. God can correct you in a mess, but that doesn't mean God orchestrates the mess to reach out to you. God can correct you in a mess, but that doesn't mean that God orchestrated any mess to reach out to you. No. He's just always there. That was the issue. Why you thought that it was God that brought a sickness to correct you of your bad attitude is because even in the sickness, God is there. So you will think that he brought it to do something. No. He's just always with you. That is why you thought he was the one that brought a bad situation your way. John 14, 16. What's there? John 14, 16. Open your Bibles. John 14, 16. I will pray the Father and he shall give you another what? Comforter that he may abide with you for how long, brethren? For how long, brethren? Say forever. Say forever. So that is a commitment of God to you. He will not leave you come what may. So that you are hearing God's voice, why in a calamity does not mean he brought the calamity to instruct you. No. Despite whatsoever would have happened, he will always be there. Amen, amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, 26. I'm serving a living God. Serving a living God. Serving a living. Oh, a living. Serving a living God. I know whom I believe. I worship the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's an Alpha and Omega, is the beginning and the end. So I praise his name. I worship the Lord. Romans 8:26. You guys make me feel like ancient of days in this place. I don't know when you are born. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God, according to God. 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the what? The called. Say the called. According to his purpose. For whom he did foreknown, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. So what are the things that work together for good? What are the things? Huh? Is what? Is foreknowledge? Is what? Predestination is calling, thank you. Justification and what? Glorification. So it's not saying all accidents will work together for your good. The way Pastor Nika will say, we said all these things, this thing that is written here. So I say it again, like and what is the good there? What is the good there? Look at it, look at it. Don't look at my face. It's there. Yes. From where we just read, from that, what is the good? Sir? Simple, the intercession of the Spirit. That is the reason why the Spirit will stay in you forever. Hallelujah. The forever intercession of the Spirit. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself, please don't read it as itself, like the KJV wrongly put it, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Say the Spirit himself beareth witness with my spirit that we are the children of God. Okay, verse 12, go to John 8, verse 12. So he is always, the Father is always there. You must not confuse that to mean that he brings bad things your way. When I was so young in faith, I will be confused that how will a man be sick? I will be so sick on the bed. And yet I'll be hearing. In fact, I remember a day I was in school. I was so sick that I have decided to die. I say, I'm dying now. Okay, I'm dying. Okay, God, I know I'm so sick. I know I've just died. And I actually closed my eyes, and for 5 hours, I was not sleeping. I was just, it's like I've died. I was unconscious. I was on the bed. I heard his voice again. He spoke. I opened my eyes. Am I not dead? I'm not dead, though. Yet you are still speaking to me. And the worst part is that he was not even talking about how I will be healed or about the sickness. Praise God. So you must not confuse that to me that, this is God. You know, somebody will have that same experience. Will say, this is because of something I did last year, something I did yesterday. No, God simply had a covenant with Christ, under which he cannot leave you. I don't like to be using the word covenant with you. Who knew why? Do you know why? Because in a covenant, what happens? You do, I do. I fail, you fail. I mess up, you mess up. I spoil my contract for better, for stay, for worse, for worker. Amen. That is a covenant. So, is that the one they said on the marriage? For better, for... No, a covenant is for better, for still. You do it, I am nice. What we call marriage covenant is love. Oh. For better, for worse, it's not a covenant. Don't worry. You don't understand? For better, for worse, I will stay. That is not a covenant. That is love speaking. Covenant is better, I stay. Worse, what happened? Waka. Amen, amen. John 8, verse 12. At least I know I will still spend like 4 years before I can join any 2 person together in this church. So we have a long time to prepare the marriage sermon. Hallelujah. John 8 verse 12. Want to go? Yes. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of... He that followeth me shall not walk in what? But shall have the light of, say, I can never lack direction. Say, I can never lack direction. See, brethren, direction is good. It's awesome. Instructions are awesome. And that is how God corrects us. Now, please write this down. The epistles are God's clearest correction and instructions to us. The epistles are God's clearest correction and instruction to us. Clearest instruction and correction. That's the epistles. 2 Timothy 3:15. And from a child you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I've told you, Holy Scripture there means Genesis to Malachi. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for what? doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, although this is talking about the Old Testament, but I tell you the truth, a man that labors with honesty on the Old Testament will arrive at the epistles. When you labor with honesty, if you what series is that? I told you, I said you cannot preach the law successfully with the Old Testament. You cannot preach justification by wearing long skirts successfully by reading the Old Testament. You can't, unless you are just not honest. Because you will see people who are also what? Justified without keeping all those things you are talking about. Are you with me, brethren? Good. So, I said a man that labors with honesty on the Old Testament will get the epistles. And this is what Timothy knew. Ephesians 4 verse 8 again. This is what the epistle will do to you. Profitable for doctrine. You know, he said the scriptures are given by the inspiration. Now, profitable. How do you get a profit? That means you will do some trading. There will be some labor. There will be some effort. You will exert some effort, some labor on the Old Testament. Then you will get the profit. Then the profit will show forth. And the profit will now be for what? Correction, doctrine, instruction in righteousness. So it's not saying the Old Testament is verbatim equals what? Doctrine. It's not saying the Old Testament equals correction, but it's profitable. So Ephesians 4 verse 8, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10, he that descended is the same that also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he may fill all things. Rejoice. So what is verse 9 and 10 saying? Where is verse 9 and 10? Where is verse 9? Rejoice. You didn't do it yesterday. Where is verse 10? He that descended is also the same that ascended far above all levels, that he might feel all things. What is that? What is verse 9? Rejoice, what is verse 9? Huh? What is verse 9 now? Is that, yes, any other word for it? Huh? Incarnation. Okay, just call verse 9, the sufferings of Christ. Where is verse 10? He that is the same that also ascended. What was that? The glory that follows. Amen. Now, verse 11, want to go. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the maturing, perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Say unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. 15, want to go, everybody? Let's read. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, the truth that grows the believer up are the post-resurrection realities. If I sit down. Sit down. The truth that grows the believer up are the post-resurrection realities. They are the post-resurrection Christ interpretation from the Old Testament. Let me say it that way. Do you know why I said post-resurrection Christ? That means the Christ that was raised from the dead, right? The interpretation of that Christ from the Old Testament are what will grow you up. Now, this is where I'm going, or this way. Now, of course, that is the epistles. But now it looks like the times are changing. E.g., you will not find cars in the epistles. You will not find laptops in the epistles. You will not find Facebook in the epistles. You will not find laughters that can house over 2,000 movies at once in the epistles. You will not find the things like some things that we are relating with today. You will not find the same in those in that age. Yet, the canon of the scripture has been closed. Yet, we cannot write our own epistle. We cannot write an epistle of how to use Facebook. We cannot write an epistle of we cannot write a new epistle to make it relevant to our day. So, where does that leave us? That is why you need a man that understands the epistles to correct you. You need a man that understands that ancient epistle to bring you correction, to caution you. Now, so this is now my question to you. How do you see correction? Do you see it as attacking your ego? A man with ego cannot serve in ministry. Most of them, what they do is they go ahead and have their own brand and start their own thing. A man with ego cannot serve in ministry. Matthew 16, verse 21. Almost done. Matthew 16, 21. A man with ego cannot serve. He cannot serve in ministry. 16:21. From that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. 23, want to go, everybody? And he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those things... So, Peter and Jesus, who do you think is older? Peter, I think Peter should be older. I think I learned Peter is the eldest of all the other ones. John, I think John was a small boy than Andreas. How do you think he will perceive this, what Jesus just said? So why didn't he leave ministry? Amen. So why didn't he leave ministry? See, I don't allow ego to stop me from receiving corrections. Now, and lastly, before I close, so rebuke is relative, actually. That is why it is the duty of church authority to do this. Rebuke is not always the same. Rebuke is relative. Like, two people can do the same thing and you rebuke them differently. That is why it's the duty of church authority to do this. Now, there are people that must be shouted on. Are you with me? There are people that what? Must be shouted on. Either due to frequency of occurrence or due to expectation. Either due to what? The frequency of occurrence or due to expectation. E.g., quickly check that 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1. There are people that should be shouted on either due to the frequency of occurrence or to expectation. First Corinthians 5 verse 1. Let's read together. One to go. Yes. It is reported what? Commonly. That there is fornication among you, and such fornication that is not so much as name among the Gentiles. That one should have his father's wife. Wow. So, what's the first issue there? Reported commonly, frequency. Not once, not twice. Reported like it's a norm. Then it's even a strange thing for someone to have his father's wife. So now you remember, now you know why Paul had to talk like deliver him to Satan. He used harsh words. Praise God. See Galatians 2 verse 11. Galatians 2 verse 11. Corrections are relative. They are relative. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that Satan came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Verse 14. Want to be everybody? But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Hallelujah. So, what was the issue with Peter here? Huh? Pretense, yes. Hypocrisy, yes. See verse 15 and 16. We who are Jews by nature are not sinners by of the Gentiles. 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So, what was the issue here? Peter ought to have known this also. Expectation. That would mean there are some of you that the pastor may expect that after all this while, you should have been better than this. We are still begging you to study. We are still begging you to pray. We are still begging you to do follow-up. We are still begging you to call people. No. So, because of such cases, there may be stricter measures. Expectation. Peter, if you remember, God, Jesus himself told Peter in Acts 1:8, to the uttermost part of the earth, right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. He didn't listen. He refused to preach in Samaria. Philip went there in Acts 8. He went there, he did emoji. He went back again. Acts 10. God showed him a vision. What I have cleansed, don't call common. Later, yeah, okay, as Peter was yet speak this word, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles. Okay, in Acts 11, the disciples, apostles called him. He went again, he told them, oh, this is what God did by me. Yet, you still went ahead to do this after many years in ministry. Praise God. So please, at times, because this is really key, I expect when I don't see what I know you are, he said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, where unto thou hast already attained, let's walk in this, let's mind these things. So you already have, there are things that I know you have attained to already. If you are still in this church and you are still struggling to maintain hours of prayers every day, you are just not serious. Because what has all the series of effectiveness in prayer, what has it done to you? What has it done to you? Amen. If you are still here, you are still shy but sharing the word, you are just not serious. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I receive instruction. Say, I am not haughty. I am not rebellious. I willingly yield to rebukes and I get better. Say, I am corrected because I am loved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you. Pray in tongues. Vanel Stokapala Rante Stokapala Moshatete Lane also Videro Zapala Kazepola Stake a Pillar Rosa Pala Mante Stokapila Rakatila Zotete.